Good morning, Sir Everard. I trust you slept well.
Good morning, Parkins. Yes, thank you. Find out where the nearest bathroom is and prepare it, will you? I've quite forgotten my way about the house.
Very good, sir. Oh, have you hurt yourself?
Oh, it's nothing. Slight accident, that's all. Were there any ghost alarms last night?
None that I heard of, sir. Though I'm afraid that we should have difficulty in keeping the young women from London if they heard what I heard on the night of my arrival.
Very terrible, was it?
Those cries were the most terrible I ever heard, sir.
Well, we shall just have to look into the matter.
You, cut yourself, Fatty.
Razor slipped, Mangan.
Nasty gash.
Good morning, Mrs. Marston.
I'm the bearer of a message.
Then pray deliver it.
Her ladyship would be glad for you to visit her in her apartments at once.
I'm not at all sure that any further meeting between Lady Dominy and myself is desirable.
Her ladyship desires me to assure you that you need be under no apprehension.
Her ladyship is very considerate. Kindly say that I shall follow in a few moments.
So, you have come to see me, Everard. You are very brave.
I have come to see you at your bidding and for my pleasure.
I sent for you because I do not understand why, quite suddenly, last night, I lost the desire to kill you. I am no longer sure about myself. Come. Let me look at you.
Do you find me changed?
Oh. You are wonderfully changed.
And you are more beautiful than ever.
Of what use has my beauty been to me since you came to my cottage and loved me and made me love you and took me away from poor dear Roger? But, oh, that does not matter now. Do you know that since you left me, I have not been outside the grounds?
That can be altered when you wish. You may go where you will. You can have a motor car even. I shall bring some wonderful doctors here, and they will make you quite strong again. I want you so much to be happy.
How surprised you are to find that I am willing to be nice to you. But why not? You cannot know why I have so suddenly changed my mind about you. And I have changed it. There is a reason why I should not kill you.
What is it?
I will leave you to find out. Now I want you to go away for a little while, please. Will you send Mrs. Marston to me?
Yes. But please, if you should walk in your sleep, you will leave your knife behind.
I have told you. I shall not kill you now.
Good afternoon.
I've come to see Dr. Harrison.
Mr. Harrison retired from practice some years ago. I'm his nephew. My name is Stillwell.
How do you do? My name is Domini.
I guessed as much, Sir Everard. My uncle lives here with me, and to tell you the truth, he was rather hoping that you'd come and see him.
Well, Domini, I should certainly never have recognized you. Arthur, isn't it time for you to start your rounds?
Yes, of course. I'm late already. If you'll excuse me, nice to meet you. I'm off.
I still find it very hard to believe that you really are Domini.
I'm afraid you'll have to accept me as a fact, nevertheless.
I was told that you'd become a broken-down drunkard.
The world is full of liars. You appear to have met with one.
You certainly don't have the appearance of a man used to excess of any sort.
Good old stock, ours. Plenty of two-bottle men behind my generation.
Yes, you've also gained courage since the days you fled from England. Did you sleep at the hall last night?
Where else? I also occupied my own bedchamber, as you can see by this slight gash on my throat.
That's just your luck. You'd no right to have gone there without seeing me first.
You seem rather a martinet as regards my domestic affairs.
That's because I know your history.
You were never my friend, Doctor. Let me suggest that we conduct this conversation on a purely professional basis.
I was never your friend because I have known you always as a selfish brute. Because you were married to the sweetest woman on God's earth, gave up none of your bad habits, frightened her into insanity by reeling home with another man's blood on your hands, and then stayed away for years, instead of making an effort to repair the mischief you had done.
This is history dished up in a somewhat partial fashion.
This is my house, and you came to see me. I shall say exactly what I like to you, and if you don't like it, you can get out. If it wasn't for Lady Dominey's sake, you shouldn't have passed this threshold.
Then for her sake, can't you forget how much you dislike me? I am here with only one object. I want you to point out to me any way in which we can work together for the improvement of my wife's health.
Oh, my help isn't worth a snap of the fingers. I have done all I can for her.
Is it any use my sending for specialists?
Just at present, none at all.
What about dealing with that horrible woman, Mrs. Marston?
Part of your task, if you're really going to take it up. She stands between your wife and the sunlight.
Then why have you suffered her to remain there all these years?
For one thing, because there has been no one to replace her. And for another, because Lady Dominey, believing that you killed Roger Marston, had some fantastic idea of giving her a home and shelter.
You think, then, that there is no affection between them?
Oh, not a scrap. Except that Lady Dominey is of so sweet and gentle a nature.
This gash would seem to
give a lot. Ah, that's a different matter. That's just where the weak spot in her brain remains. If you ask me, I believe it is pandered to by Mrs. Marston. If you have got back your courage, send Mrs. Marston away. Sleep with your doors wide open. If a single night passes without Lady Dominey coming to your room with a knife in her hand, then she will be cured in time of that mania, at any rate. Dare you do that?
I suppose you know, Sir Everard, that what you've promised the tenants today will cost a matter of 10,000 or even 15,000 pounds.
Before I go to bed tonight, I shall send a cheque for 20,000 to the estate account. Yes?
Excuse me, sir. There is a gentleman to see you, a Mr. Otto Seaman.
Seaman? Show him in at once, please, Parkins.
Isn't that the fellow we met at the Carlton Grill, your friend from Africa?
Yes. My dear fellow, come in, come in.
Good evening. I found myself in Norfolk, Sir Everard, and I couldn't resist dropping in. If it is in any way inconvenient...
Thank you, Parkins. Inconvenient? No, of course not. You must stay the night.
Oh, but...
No, there are scores of rooms ready. You remember Mangan?
How nice to see you again.
Ah, the dressing gong already. If you will excuse me...
Yes, of course. We will follow shortly. I'll have you shown to your room, Seaman.
When is that fellow going?
9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Not a word until then. I must not seem to be hanging about you too much. I really did not want to come, but the matter is urgent.
The time for action has arrived.
But I'm scarcely established here.
And it is with regard to your establishment here that I first desire to say a word. You have undertaken a great enterprise, but when a certain course of action is without profit to our purpose, it distresses me.
What the devil do you mean?
I sleep with one eye open. I saw you leave your room this morning carrying Lady Dominey in your arms.
What concern is this of yours?
Just this. To deceive a lady weak of intellect, however beautiful, to make use of your position as her supposed husband, save in the vital interests of his country, is not the action of a Prussian nobleman.
I see. Well, you need have no fear. The situation is delicate, I know, but I am sure that I can deal with it as a man of honor.
Let us hope so. For your own sake, as well as ours. But all this time we speak on a side issue. Now listen. The great moment has arrived for you. The Kaiser has expressed a desire to see you.
The Kaiser?
He wishes to give you your instructions in person. You must leave for Germany immediately.
But what explanation can I possibly make for going to Germany?
That itself will not be difficult. We shall simply say that a crisis has arisen concerning one of the mines in which you have shares, a mine run with German capital.
Ah. Ingenious.
We must leave at once. I have arranged for us to be driven to Norwich later today.
Today? Oh, very well, then. Let us return to the house at once. There is something of great importance that I must do before we set out. I understand that you firmly believe that I killed your son, Roger. Is this attendance upon my wife a Christian act, then, returning good for evil?
Exactly what do you want to say to me?
I wish to say this, that I am determined to bring about her full recovery. For that reason, I am going to bring specialists to see her. And above all, I intend to get her away from here, at least for a time. My own feeling is that she will stand a much better chance of recovery without your attendance.
Yes. You would dare to send me away?
That is my intention.
But I can't leave here. I must stay.
Must? Why?
Lady Domini can't do without me.
That is for her to decide. Personally, I believe that you have encouraged her in the ridiculous superstition about the ghost of your son, and I also believe that you have kept alive in her that unreasonable spirit of hatred which she has felt towards me.
Unreasonable, you call it? You, who come home to her with blood on your hands, blood of the man she might one day have come to love.
I've finished what I had to say to you. I am compelled to leave here for 2 or 3 days. In the meantime, I have written to Dr. Harrison, asking him to keep Lady Domini under his personal observation until I return. You may go now. You're not very fond of Mrs. Marston.
I don't think so. I think I am very much afraid of her. But it is no use. She will never go away.
When I return, we shall see.
Oh, I am so sorry that you are going. Will you come back soon?
I shall be back in 3 days.
Do you know, something has come into my mind lately. I spoke about it yesterday, but I did not tell you what it was. The knowledge must have come to me at the very moment when my knife rested upon your throat, when I suddenly lost the desire to kill you. You are not my husband at all. You are another man.
Another man?
Mrs. Marston, how dare you eavesdrop on our conversation?
Your homecoming seems to depress you, von Ragerstein.
It was not my intention to set foot in Germany for many years.
The past still bites, then.
Always.
Prepare yourself, my friend. We descend in a few minutes.
Where the devil are we? There's not a house in sight.
The Kaiser, with his staff, is making one of his military tours. You are to be received aboard His Majesty's private train.
The Baron von Ragerstein will please to follow me.
Oh, but...
His Imperial Majesty will receive Herr Seemann later.
It pleases me to see a German officer ill at ease without his uniform. Please be seated.
Sir Everard Domini at your service, Your Majesty.
Thorough in all things, I see. Good. Reports have reached me of your work in Africa.
I did my best to execute Your Majesty's will.
You did so well that my counselors were unanimous in advising your withdrawal to what will shortly become the center of interest. From the moment of receiving our commands, you appear to have displayed considerable initiative. I gather that your impersonation of this English baronet has been successfully carried through.
Up to the present, Your Majesty, yes.
Von Ragerstein, I have sent for you to have a few words concerning your habitation in England. I wish you to receive your impressions of your mission from my own lips.
Your Majesty does me great honor.
I wish you to consider yourself entirely outside my espionage system. From you, I look for other things. I desire you to enter into the spirit of your assumed position as a typical English country gentleman. I desire you to study the labor question, the Irish question, the progress of the national service scheme, and other social movements. These things are all on the fringe of your real mission, which is, as you know, to seek the friendship, if possible the intimacy, of Prince Ternilov.
The Prince has already received me graciously.
Ternilov is the dove of peace. He carries the sprig of olive in his mouth. My statesman would have sent an ambassador of his sterner qualities to London, but I preferred not. Turnilov is the man to gull fools because he is a fool himself. He is a fit ambassador for a country which does not have wit to arm itself on land as well as by sea.
The British appear to put great trust in their navy, Your Majesty.
Fools! Of what use will their navy be when I hold the towns of Calais and Boulogne, when my cannon command the Straits of Dover? In some months' time, you will understand why you have been enjoined to become the friend and companion of Turnilov. You'll understand your mission a little more clearly than you do now. Its exact nature waits upon developments. You can at all times trust seamen.
I understand, Your Majesty.
Von Ragerstein, my decree of banishment against you is a just one. You betray the wife of one of the most influential noblemen of a state allied to my own. And then in the duel that followed, you killed him.
It was an accident.
Then the accident should have happened the other way. It was your life that was forfeit, not his. Still, they tell me that your work in Africa was well done. I give you this one great chance of rehabilitation. If your work in England commends itself to me, the sentence of exile shall be rescinded. Your audience is over, Baron von Ragerstein.
Oh, well shot, my friend. You are a miracle. You even seem to have the dominant touch for killing pheasants.
I've shot much higher birds in Hungary.
Oh, Her Grace the Duchess is coming. She seems to share the Duke's dislike of me, and is too great a lady to conceal her feelings. And just one word before I go. The Princess Eiderstrom arrives this afternoon.
Yes, I'm not at all certain that you've told me all you know concerning the Princess's visit.
Perhaps you are right. I will go now.
I told Henry I should not stop with him another moment. He has fired off 40 cartridges and wounded one hare.
Henry is not very keen, but you are just a little hard on him.
Well, perhaps. I hear that the Princess Eiderstrom is coming today.
Yes, for a few days, I'm afraid. She'll be bored to death.
Tell me, how did you become so friendly with her?
Well, the first time we ever met was in the Carlton Grill. She mistook me for someone else.
Really?
And then I met her later the same day at the German embassy. She's related in some way to the German ambassador, Turnilov.
Oh, yes, that's another thing. How on earth did you become so friendly with the German ambassador?
Well, there's nothing odd about it. Mr. Seaman.
Horrid man.
Mr. Seaman, who is my partner in one or two mining enterprises, took me to call upon him. I have the greatest respect and liking for Prince Turnilov.
Oh, so have I. Henry declares that he must be either a fool or an knave.
Yes, well, Henry is blinded by prejudice.
Oh, don't get angry, my dear. I admire the prince immensely. He is absolutely the only German I have ever met whom one felt instinctively to be a gentleman. Oh, by the way, do you know whom Stephanie mistook you for in the Carlton Grill?
Do tell me.
The Baron, Leopold von Ragerstein, her lover in Hungary.
We'd better walk on to the next stand. Leopold, yes, I remember now. She called me Leopold.
I still don't see why it was necessary to invite her here. She may call you Leopold again.
If she does, I shall be deaf. Anyway, she hates shooting parties. I thought she could entertain Prince Turnilov.
Oh, bosh. She will monopolize you all the time. That's what she's coming for.
You're not suggesting...
No, I shouldn't wonder. And she is an extraordinarily attractive woman. Oh, I'm full of complaints, Everard. Oh, there's that awful little man, Seaman. You know, the very sight of him makes Henry furious.
I am really sorry about that, but you see, the ambassador takes a great interest in him. Seaman is secretary of the Friendship League.
Well, it is a little awkward for Henry. He hates Germans. After all, he is practically the leader of the National Service Movement.
But even Henry likes Turnilov.
But of course he likes Turnilov, but he hates all he represents.
Your guns are ever at.
Ah, thank you, Middleton. Now, you better stand well to the rear, Caroline. We're about to recommence.
Oh, dear, all right. Sir Everard, Everard shoots as well as he did before he went to Africa, Middleton.
Better, Your Grace. There's another hour's good night, sir. Shall we go through the home cops, or would you like a partridge drive?
First turn off, what do you say to a partridge drive? If I might make a suggestion, most of the pheasants went into that gloomy wood across the marsh.
We call that the Blackwood, and I'm afraid that any pheasants who find their way there claim sanctuary. What do you think, Middleton?
You wouldn't put the beaters in there, Squire. Not that there's one of them as would go.
Ah, we stumbled against some local superstition. Do tell.
I doubt whether there's a beater in all Norfolk will go through Blackwood if you paid him red gold for it, Your Grace.
Henry, you're an idiot.
Oh, really?
It was my fault, Everard. Poor Henry has no memory. I ought to have stopped him.
Don't worry. I shan't require the men to beat Blackwood, Middleton. Get them around to the back of Hunt's stubble. We'll line the park fence.
Yes, Squire. Follow me, you men. The stubble.
Shall we walk on?
Have I by chance been tactless?
No, not at all. There's no reason why you shouldn't know the truth. Near that wood occurred the tragedy which drove me from England for so many years.
And it is his ghost, I imagine, that haunts the wood.
Well, the wood itself is a pretty murky place. There are quagmires in the middle of it. Indeed, our locals say that somewhere in the heart of the wood is a sort of demon who comes out at night and howls under my windows.
A demon? Has anyone ever seen it?
Oh, one or two of the villagers, so they say. Now, here we are. Now, if you'll take the stand to the left, Henry.
All right,
Your Excellency. Oh, Eddie, will you go with His Excellency to the far end?
Thank you so
much. I shall be just beyond, towards the Oak Club. Will you walk with me, Caroline?
Everard, I congratulate you. You have conquered your nerve absolutely. You did a simple and fine thing to tell the whole story. Why, you were so matter-of-fact, I could even have imagined you were telling it about someone else.
Curious it should have struck you like that. Do you know, when I was telling it, I had the same feeling.
There is no doubt about it, I tell you. A war party in Germany with a purely military lust for conquest.
If you will forgive me, it is such ill-advised and ill-founded statements as you are constantly making about my country, which is the only bar to a better understanding between us.
I have my views, and I shall continue to express them at all times and with all the eloquence at my command.
The Duke sometimes forgets, in pursuit of his hobby, that a private party is not a platform.
There is not a more vital subject in the world.
I must speak to you alone. I have a surprise for you.
Very well, Princess. Let us go into the library.
Now, please, sit here by my side.
Is this going to be serious?
Serious, but wonderful. Leopold, I left this country a few weeks ago, feeling that you were a brute, and determined never to see you again. Half inclined to expose you as an impostor and a charlatan. I was very unhappy.
You are speaking to one who is not present. My name is not Leopold.
To proceed. It suited my convenience to remain a few days in Berlin. And there I received a great surprise. The Kaiser spoke to me of you. I was taken back into favor at court. Wilhelm told me that he was much impressed by your recent visit to him and by the way that you have established yourself here. He asked me, Leopold, if my feelings towards you remain unchanged. I poured out my heart to him. We spoke of your duel with my husband. I told him what your seconds explained to me about the accident. Wilhelm understands and forgives. He has sent you this letter. You see, it is addressed to Sir Everard Domini. Read it.
Yes, but...
Oh, please, read it.
It is my will... What the devil? It is my will that you offer your hand in marriage to the Princess Stephanie of Eiderstrom. Your union shall be blessed by the church and approved by my court. Wilhelm.
What? Not on your knees yet, Leopold? Can it be that you have lost your love for me?
This is not practical. I must remain for several months to come, Sir Everard Domini, an Englishman, husband of Lady Domini.
And where, then, is your reputed wife?
In a nursing home. She's practically recovered. I cannot marry you now.
Yeah, you make difficulties. You sit there like the cold Englishman whose place you are taking. Oh, Leopold, what has changed you? You are a different
man. Sir Everard, I must... Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, what is it?
I am indeed most sorry to intrude, but something has happened which I thought you ought to know at once. Can you spare me one moment?
This is a day of surprises. Excuse me, Stephanie.
Oh, take all the time you want. I am going.
Well? Well, what is it, ma'am? What's happened?
Lady Domini has returned.